This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Hello, it's On The Wire. It's Shawnee Ward, Fran Berry, John McDonald of Bar One Racing and Brendan Duke. We have a busy weekend of racing, tough racing now for some punters, I think. A couple of jumps meetings and a fascinating meeting at NAB. And it's fairly quiet on the Eastern Front as well, namely in the UK. I think everything's basically building up to the Derby next weekend and the Oaks. Fascinating weekend ahead. We're going to have a good chat about that as well. Arising from our ruminations on last weekend's Irish Classics, which will be relevant to subsequent Classics down the line. But let's get straight into it, lads. And this sounds like a bit of kind of showboating because I did well. Let's get into last weekend's nap. Straight into it here. Starting off with you, Brendan Duke. First of all, how are you? And second of all, Hollygolightly finished second of 4-1. Very good run.
Yes, I thought it was a good run, Johnny. You could argue she had the run of the race, but there was a couple of lengths back to the third. I'd say that the winner and the second are probably well handicapped fillies. And given the hotel that Holly is in, I expect her to continue to go forward.
Yeah, a mate of mine gave the local butcher a tip for the winner and kind of thought he got some free meat out of it until he looked at the actual cost of what he paid for the meat, and he didn't think he got anything out of it, but he did give him a winner. So there was good word for the winner, Juki.
Yes, it seems to have been well fancied. So that would play into my theory that the front two are well handicapped fillies, and just ran into one on the day. Johnny, I had a touch of seconditis at the weekend. It was quite frustrating with Poetic Flair and Liffey River, and there was another one on Sunday. Oh, the Fame and Acclaim ran off his face again, got done by a well handicapped stable mate. So this is the moment when you remind me of all my good luck. Do you remember I said this to you last week? When I'm bemoaning my bad luck, you say, well, swings and roundabouts this game, isn't it?
Very much. I think punters generally tend to talk far more about the bad luck than the good luck. They never mention they backed the third in the race and how badly the first two in the market ran. It just never comes into it. It's like, gosh, that won easily. This is an easy game. Fran Berry, I'm just picturing you around the kind of Kildare region, going into the butchers, going into local shops. Do you get asked for tips and selections, or do you play it like your dad and kind of just say nothing?
It's very hard to get away from horses in Kilcullen anyway, Johnny. Lowlands Butchers there, I'll be in there in the morning. I've the weekend off and forecast good for Sunday. So I'll join the queue at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, and the lads in there are horse mad. So you always have to come prepared with a winner as well. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And to be fair, I've gotten a lot of good recommendations for Lowlands of Kilcullen. So would you, obviously Bar One Racing sponsors this show, it's not Lowlands of Kilcullen. But if we were to get Sausages and Rashers, good place to go?
Best sausages in the world, and that's proven. They won the big award in London a couple of years ago, and a special mix, very, very good. And I can see myself getting a T-bone for Sunday for the barbecue, Johnny. Yeah,
possibly for free after that plug. Taipan at fourth, 11-4. Fran, this was disappointing, I have to say. My selection in the race ran even worse, but Taipan never got into it.
Never rose a gallop, did he? Really, it was disappointing. He'd everything in his favour. He'd his ground. You could forgive him his last run behind Bolshoi Ballet if he came back to his initial season outing and his win last year in Ace. He was the first horse beat. He looked like he might get into it and then faded out. But jury's definitely out, Johnny, with him. Jury's definitely out. I didn't like the way he travelled. He didn't seem to make much effort to help himself through the race.
Mm. It was all going so well as well with our naps because Castle Star, Johnny Mac, this is a very exciting performance and one which prompted Chris Hayes, I think he was talking to the race poster in the week, to really extol the qualities of this horse. Won at 5-2 very easily.
Yeah, he was very impressive. I think he's favourite for the Coventry now, Johnny, on the back of that Marble Hill win. And yeah, he travelled really strongly, didn't he? I think some people thought Masetto, the second, was unlucky. I didn't think so. I thought if he ran the race 20 times, he'd be the winner.
Yeah, and this is probably a good time to now look at our classics from last weekend. My selection was Max Sweeney. He did win, but it was a bit of a scare.
By one, Poetic Flair on the near side, the far side is Van Gogh. Jim Bulger has the winning of it. It's Max Sweeney on the far side of Poetic Flair. Max Sweeney and Rory Cleary, a special, special day. Max Sweeney makes all in the Tattersall's Irish 2000 guineas, beating stable companion Poetic Flair. Van Gogh next. Miss Emilet has dropped away, and then Seagett and Sweet Gardenia. A little over 2 furlongs to go, and the Tattersall's Irish 1,000 guineas, and it's No Speak Alexander trying to shrug off Joan of Arc. Then Fantasy Lady, who stays on. Pretty Gorgeous is ground to find, and then Empress Josephine Bellemage runs on the outside, up the rail is friendly. No Speak Alexander, repressed by Joan of Arc on the near side. Joan of Arc and Ryan Moore get to No Speak Alexander and Shane Foley. Here's Empress Josephine with a sail on the near side. Joan of Arc, Empress Josephine. They have delivered Aidan O'Brien. He's 10th. Tattersall's Irish, 1,000 guineas.
Fran, I spent some of last night, I finished an article, I was in good form, got a couple of pints from the local for the takeaway, and the TV had the Friends reunion on. Now, the reason I say this, I don't know, you watched it, Fran, did you?
I watched it last night, and didn't really want to watch it and like it, but once I got into it, it was good watching and a bit of nostalgia.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you there, except essentially the actors and Friends, they look more like mannequins than people now. They've had so much work done. So it just got me thinking about aging with grace, right? And this is your man that was in Star Wars or whatever. I saw an interview with him the other day, and I think he's 90. Now, you may tell me who I'm talking about here. He honestly looks about 60, but he claims to be 90 anyway. Can't remember his name anyway.
Mark Hamill, is it?
Right. Yeah. So you look at, he was an astounding example of aging well. But you look at these trainers, right, aging well. J.S. Bulger, he only has a 1-2 in a classic after winning the Newmark Classic. What did you make of it, Fran? It was an exciting race. And I guess the main thing to take from it was one of the good guys winning in Rory Cleary.
Yeah, where do you start? Two very good horses, Johnny. I couldn't believe how well Poetic Flair looked prior to the race after being in France. And Juki called it right last week. I no way could have seen Jim Bulger run the two of them in one race. When the rain arrived, I thought Max Sweeney would be his number one. And to run the two like he did and get the finish that he did was probably as good an achievement as Jim will ever have. And Kevin Manning would be gutted to pick the wrong one, but Rory Cleary was his day. And it just shows you if you stick at it and work hard, you will get a twist somewhere along the line. And Rory took full advantage of that on Saturday with a very well-judged paced ride.
Yeah, we'll talk about Barney Curley, and Barney was a religious man. But Jim Bulger, obviously a card-carrying Catholic, as he says, he may have a line to God. Your father has a line to God via Brendan Duke. Via Jim Bulger. And you called it right. This man makes up his own rules. Has he thrown the way to train basically out the window? Then you can run horses in classics every other day and they might nearly win them all.
Well, I mean, in fairness to Aidan likes to run his horses as well. I mean, I think most of the flat trainers, there are some exceptions in National Hunt Race, but I think most of the flat trainers like to get their horses out running. They're not earning anything in the stable. Now, Bulger is a real extreme example of that. But I mean, what a man this is. I don't know what breeders look for, but if I was a breeder, I'd be all over this Poetic Flair. Precocious enough to win the first two-year-old race of the season. He goes and runs in three classics. He wins one of them on Rattling Fast Ground. He'd no luck in France, so we give him a pass there. Still showed a lot of heart. Then he comes out on absolutely bottomless ground and runs his heart out again. Fran mentioned how well he looked. He's supposed to be a very good-looking horse. Fran can fill us in on that. I wouldn't know, Johnny, because I'm a racing refugee, as you know. But he's supposed to be a very good-looking horse. He handles any ground. He's only going to rock up now in Ascot for the St. James's Palace because he's such a good doer. All the horse does is eat scallops and shits. He's just a really nice horse to have anything to do with, they mentioned. He's going to run over and over. I mean, that's the kind of secret sauce that breeders should be looking for, right?
It is mad, Fran, that you get these stories of redemption. And obviously Dawn Approach comes to mind here because he was clearly not a stallion that was flavoured the month by any stretch. But he does have a stallion prospect here. You can't knock what Juki's saying here. This horse does tick a lot of boxes.
Oh, very much so. He's got the pedigree. He's got the physique, as Juki said. I've seen him in the flesh a couple of times. Beautiful looking horse and the constitution now to go with it. And, all grounds come alike to him. He'd be very hard to beat in St. James's Palace around that bend. It's doing really well. And with the exception of Bolshoi Ballet and maybe High Definition, Jim Bulger's got the two best calls around at the minute.
Yeah, and a horse by power winning the Tattersalls Gold Cup well for Noel Mead. Just from your perspective, how good a ride was that fight by Colin Keane?
Excellent, because I don't think he stays fully. The Tattersalls Gold Cup is 10.5 furlongs. It's an extra 110 yards or whatever. And I think he just about gets to 10 furlongs. And soft ground, he'd that. But Colin Keane, he rode him with balls, didn't he? And he tracked his danger. And he said to Noel Mead before the race, he was going to have one go at him if it was happening. And he did that because the stride by the line, he was beat again. And some achievement for Noel. Like it's, I thought the spread of winners over the weekend, Johnny, was something special as well. But that winner for Noel Mead was a highlight.
Absolutely. And I have to say, but this isn't, I'm not bullshitting Johnny Mac, but three of the soundest lads in the weighing room that I would know, Rory Cleary, Shamie Heffernan, and Colin Keane, all winning classics. And Shamie Heffernan, I think he actually said after the race, Johnny, that he probably, if he didn't win an Empress Josephine, he would have been kicking himself because she did get a bit of traffic. And this is another example. I didn't think it was a great Guineas necessarily. It was another example of just these Galileos improving.
Yeah, Empress Josephine, who she's a sister to Mining. Am I right? I think she's a sister to Mining, which she pitches up in an Irish Oaks. She'll be a big, big player in July.
Johnny. I did say after the race that probably won't get a mile and a half and isn't going to try it.
Okay, right. Just on the topic of Rory Cleary, Johnny, I remember being pony racing back around 2001. Paddy Flood was there as well in a field somewhere in Westmeath. And someone told me on the day, it's Rory Cleary, young fella, is very, very good. And he had a quite few years, Fran, didn't he? But it's good to see him back in the big time.
He did. He had a good run on McAlford for a while. And then he ended up down in Jim Bulger's. And, you know, you got a job security, but as you're in the yard at 6-7 mornings a week, it's very hard to get outside rides. Now, Rory does that through being a lightweight rider and he's got good contacts, but opportunities like he got last Saturday won't come around too often, and God, he made full use of it when he got the opportunity, yeah.
How was the weekend for the firm, Johnny?
Okay, Johnny, the big races were results. Empress Josephine, we basically got the book there. Max Swinney was a very good result, and Helvet Dream was a screamer as well in the Paddles World Cup. Getting groomed beat was a big, big result.
A man who wouldn't like to hear any of that because of his disdain for bookmakers, albeit I think that may have changed later in life, was Barney Curley, whose passing on Sunday really prompted, I guess, a wave of reaction from the industry. A genuine legend passing away. Divided opinion to some extent, divided my opinion to some extent. But, you know, I guess his legacy would be great. I spoke to Tom Queeley, actually, for an article new for The Currency last night. But Tom's brother, Declan, who wrote out his claim at Limerick with an easy winner that he rode himself yesterday as a trainer, Declan had some relationship with Barney as well, learned some things from him and spoke to Gary O'Brien afterwards.
And Declan, just before we let you go, just wanted to have a word with you about Barney Curley, who very sadly passed away earlier this week. Of course, everyone knows, I think at this stage, he was a great mentor to your brother, Tom, but you had an association with him as well. Did you ride your first winner for him?
Yeah, I rode my first winner for Barney 16 years ago now, when I was 16 back in Windsor. I went over there for a summer and he looked after me and had a great time over there. I went over the following summer as well, but look, Barney has been a big help to Tom and myself. And like, if I was on the phone to Tom or you're stuck with something, we'd always say, like, ask Barney, like, you know, he's that kind of a man to us. So, no, it was a sad day for our family and we'll miss him.
And he pulled off some incredible gambles over the years. And you yourself were part of one, weren't you, on Summerstone? Didn't quite go according to plan. Just remind us what happened that day.
The fourfold, I was flown over, whatever, and I won on the first one, and then as the day went by, I noticed that Dennis had won on the horse above in Kelso wherever, and Tom had won, and then my horse had gone from whatever he was, even money, into 1-16 or whatever.
Even shorter than this mare.
Yeah, and I managed to get it beaten anyway, so we were all brought back to the house that night, and he brought us in, the usual sit down and talk about the day, and he said, what I like about this, I thought he was the biggest certainty of them all, so It was a good one, yeah. So
he still had a good day, and great to see he didn't hold it against you.
No, not at all. No, he only laughed it off.
Yeah. And what do you remember about the race itself, Tom? There would have been huge attention, obviously, on you that evening.
Yeah, it's a long time ago now, but probably got trapped back a little bit far and fell asleep a little. So
Look, did you feel any extra pressure going out there than you would normally?
Not really. Today, I just didn't notice it today, but I got him beaten anyway. I managed that.
Well, anyway, it was still a very, very good day's work, and sounds like you guys will have lots of fond memories of me. Did an awful lot of good, didn't you, Barney?
Definitely, yeah. Brilliant, brilliant man. Yeah, yeah. Racing and missing.
Declan, great to catch up with you. Well done, and congratulations again on riding out the claim.
Thanks very much. Thank you.
Cheers.
Juki, yeah, I spoke to a professional gambler, actually, during the week. He said Barney's basically my hero. And I look back on the clip of him at a racing preview in Galway. I think it was 3 years after his famous 2014 coup. And you know, we both know Cheltenham preview nights. You know, you have these lads basically talking over the audience. Everyone's getting boozed up. Barney was teetotal. He admitted in the preview that he didn't really watch racing anymore, so he'd nothing to offer. And everyone was hanging on every word he had, even though you could barely hear what he was saying. He was a man with an aura about him. Anything he put his hand to, he seemed to excel. And actually, Juki, what's inspiring for me is that the man, despite the fact that his legacy is so great, he was absolutely stone broke and in serious debt when Yellow Sam won in 1975. And I'm by no means saying if you're a gambler and you're in heavy debt, everything's going to work out. But Barney was in shtuck, and all you needed was a 20-1 winner, which the bookies didn't know anything about.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's going to have a massive legacy in the game. I'd be skeptical about it.
He absolutely is. He's basically redefined the way people punt. All of these accumulators, multiples, they're all a product of his 2014 coup. Everyone is trying to outdo the bookies, and they'll think, what would Barney do? So in that, I think, certainly in punting terms, his legacy, you're not convinced.
I'm not convinced. Maybe in gambling is such a fluid industry. Maybe in 100 years, someone will write a book about him, like the Druids Lodge Confederacy. But I think he'll ultimately be a bit of a footnote in racing history. Now, perhaps in his charity work, of course, because. I mean,
you're a footnote in racing history after all this.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I never even made a paw print in racing history. I always found him an interesting character, actually, because there is this thing that people say about up to a certain point, you wear your face, and say after 50 years, your face wears you. So he always struck me as a character with an air of melancholy about him. You know the way JP. Oh, he's sparkly eyed and he looks like he's done plenty of smiling in his life. Barney never looked like he raised a smile in his life at all. Now, he had a tough upbringing and what have you. And whatever about legacies and what have you, I think legacies are overplayed, to be honest with you. But whatever about them, I am in awe of anyone who makes a living punting, because it's a hard way to make an easy living.
Interesting stuff there. Again, Fran, this just proves, as did Jim Bulger and Aidan O'Brien last weekend, what could we achieve if we didn't drink? Barney was teetotal, and look at what he achieves. And here the four of us are scrimmaging for a living on a podcast here. But did you ever ride for him? I presume you didn't. And what were your thoughts on BJ Curley in general?
I'd never met him, actually. No dealings with him. But obviously, you look on, like, the game is losing a lot of colourful characters, isn't it? That generation of lads that have to play to survive or whatever. And I think it's the end of an era or a timeline in racing, if you like. Good one on that four-timer. What was it, 2014, Johnny said?
Yeah.
The last bit of important work was done at Kempton Park Racecourse a week or 10 days beforehand. And Barney obviously didn't want to be seen at the track in the morning, even if somebody copped him or whatever, ground staff. So there's a BP garage around the back, and he apparently parked the car there, got up on the roof, and you can look into Kempton Park at the 2 furlong marker. So that's where he did a sightseeing for the last bit of work that the four horses done, apparently, yeah.
It's actually lovely, Johnny Mac, because the more, like, as I was researching a piece of them this week, the more I learned about, like, stories like Fran is saying there, because there were aspects to, apparently, and I was talking to Ray Farrell, a bookmaker from a famous family, and he was telling me in 75, there was supposed to be a geezer monitoring the phone box, and this is kind of not really told, but, you know, because some of the race courses only had one line of communication. Bellystown was one of them for the bookmakers to lay off the SP or whatever. But the geezer who was supposed to be minding the phone box apparently got a serious bout of diarrhea, right? And Ray Farrell was 15 or so at the time. And his dad, Charlie, was looking over in the outer ring at Bellystown. And Sean Graham was just kept going big, this Yellow Sam, kept going big. So I think the word that he used, he's hawking him. This horse is dead. So Sean Graham, I think Sean Graham went 33s. So the other bookies eventually followed, like you do, return 20s. Sean Graham cheered the horse home, like, with gay abandon. And everyone was like, what's going on here? Sean Graham was owed about 30 grand by Barney, and Sean Graham was in on it.
Away. Yes, the betting landscape nowadays, Joe Johnny, is much, much different, isn't it? So it's very hard to instigate one of those coups. I mean, Brendan, you're from a trading background yourself, and I mean, everything is linked nowadays, so it's very hard to carry off that, isn't it?
Yes, it is tricky. There are now, Johnny makes a fair point, there are still issues around multiple liabilities that if you do it at the right time, as we saw with that gamble that was almost pulled off, was it in January, the horse was fourth in the last leg of it. That you can do it, but of course it's like the poachers and the gamekeepers. The poachers always have to try and stay one step ahead of the gamekeepers, and it's getting harder and harder for the poachers with technology, Johnny.
This is it, and Chris Cook has an article on this, the Race Post today. I haven't read it yet, but I think there are a lot of dud gambles going on now, and I have this theory that there's someone out there who's going to have a load of these dud gambles on horses that are linked to various trainers. The trainers probably won't know anything about it. It'll be a case of the boy who cried wolf did when they actually pull it off, because I've no doubt people are looking at what happens. The gamble, obviously, in that you mentioned involving, was it Gallagher's Cross blowing Dixie, forget the other horse, that nearly copped a huge amount. There are copycats out there, and I'm going to definitely read Chris Cook's article. Just to finish up, Johnny Mac, it's a legacy he will leave. And, I've seen you in the ring in Dundalk as well, in terms of the characters that are there. We don't want to lose that. And it's been a terrible, terrible year for bookmakers. I know some who've really struggled because they've had no work, and they go back to an uncertain future.
Oh, yeah. But I actually spoke to Conor O'Neill from Punchestown on the phone this morning, and they're sounding quite optimistic. There is a bit of light there now, Johnny, and it's getting the older people back. I think the bigger meetings have survived, Johnny. It's the smaller meetings. I know we're going a bit off topic. It's getting life back into those smaller meetings, isn't it? And getting the older people back to race courses.
Forgiven, forgotten, and all of that. Forgiven, forget was obviously Horse of Barney, was associated with one of the more high profile, and let's go down memory lane.
As they come to the second last, Forgive and Forget challenging over on the far side, the sheepskin nose band, Dromedani in the centre, on the near side is Coombs Ditch, half free there, the leader from Forgive and Forget, Barine Prince is putting in a challenge too, a wide open race as they come to the final fence now, Forgive and Forget over on the far side with a factual advantage, Forgive and Forget lands in the lead now from half free, Barine Prince putting in a run, right hand man trying to get in the picture too, but it's Forgive and Forget being pressed by right hand man as they race up towards the line. Forgive and Forget from Right Hand Man. Forgive and Forget is going to win the Don't Tell Them Gold Cup. Second is Right Hand Man. Third is Earl's Brig and fourth Ramadani. That's the 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, as I said at the start of the show, Fran, it's not the most appealing betting weekend, right? So I'm going to ask you for, we'll go through Saturday. I'm going to go through Saturday with the four of you, starting with you, Fran. And Saturday entails an interesting card at Punchestown. I suppose one of the most interesting aspects for me here was seeing Battle Over Doyen rock up in a handicap chase. Jordan Gainsford riding, that's the 150, and I don't think he'd be favoured either.
Yeah, it's good to see him out, and obviously one upside to this bad weather at the minute is we're getting good jumpers running at Punchestown this weekend. You know, there's a couple of interesting ones, and
that is one as well, and so forth.
Up home and. Battle Over Dion, Jordan Gainford taking a ride. How are them horses running? I don't know if the Foster team are in great form at the minute, and I'd be prepared to watch any of them at the minute. The likes of Jack Hackett, the likes around there. Zara Kariva down the bottom at 9 stone 12 would be make appeal also, but a trappy little race, Johnny. A good race, but a trappy race. The 410, that handicap hurdle, that's a cracking handicap hurdle over 2 miles. I thought Act of God was interesting for Rachel Blackmore taking a ride for Edward O'Grady. Had a comeback run recently, didn't run too badly after being off the track for quite a length of time. Just thought that was of interest.
Yeah, Lamuzini in that handicap chase. I'm not inclined to back JP horses on handicap debut, but this horse is off 202 days. Just might be ready. I think there's a pace angle in this race as well. There should be plenty of horses up top. Another horse that interested me, Juki, was actually in that that 2 mile handicap hurdle that Fran mentioned. If I can find it here,
Was it winner takes it all?
No, well, I don't think he'll handle the ground. It was golden. Winner takes it all is definitely a well-handicapped horse. By Nathaniel, though, wants better ground. It was actually Golden Jewel, right? So I looked into Golden Jewel. Golden Jewel's been running in better race than this, running very well. But he hasn't won in like 2.5 years or something. So I was like, yeah, and Freak Moore obviously won well in Wexford last time. Anything on the card for you, Juki?
Well, I mean, just a general theme of scratching around, Johnny. I take your point about the ground for winner takes it all, but I was just so struck by the price he went off. He went off 130 favourite for a classy and competitive handicap hurdle at Leopardstown over Christmas. Did blow out, to be fair, but does look a well-handicapped horse based on his flat exploits. And I nearly take a chance that they were right at Christmas and back him on Saturday. But I'm not even sure if I'll have a bet.
Yeah, I think I wouldn't be surprised if that horse rocked up in Galway, to be honest, because, you know, I'm presuming you get better ground. But again, as we've seen in May, I mean, weather just is completely nuts anymore in Ireland. Grange Clare West, Johnny Mack, is obviously an interest one. This horse was bought for a fortune. Cheveley Park, they don't seem to spend cheap on anything. Obviously, we saw a horse win a bumper and tip during the week that cost an eye-watering amount. Jody Townend riding for William Mullins, one of the more notable runners on the card.
Yeah, they had a nice bumper winner at Limerick last night. Yeah, he cost 430 out of Dennis Murphy's yard. He won a Lingstown point. Just back to her, you mentioned Johnny. John Queeley's horse, Arcadian Sunrise. I thought he had a massive chance.
Yeah.
He ran really well in a handicap at Punchestown the last day. I think it was in that Golden Jewel race. He's winning form on soft ground. Dennis O'Regan has won 3 of his 4 starts on him. I think he's a huge player. That run at Punchestown the last day was his first run for 6 months or something, so maybe he can improve off that. I think there's a big case to be made for him.
Yeah, he's not a bad horse at all, in fairness, travels well in his races. And I know our listeners and viewers are dying to hear our naps after our success last week. We'll just have to wait another few minutes because we'll get through Sunday's card. Starting with you, Fran, anything at Punchestown? And if not, what do you like at Navan? I think Navan might be the main talking point just because we're maybe a little bit more in flat mode despite the fact we've massive fields at Punchestown.
Yeah, Punchestown, first of all, that second race, Dame de Compiègne comes over, Nicky Henderson's mare, and is interesting off 1, 4, 5. But down the line in that one, Johnny, number 8, Jaron Mead, trained by Noel Mead, that horse ran really well at the Punchestown Festival. And I'd say it's not as competitive a race as what he contested. I think he's a horse with a really big day in him, and I'd imagine all roads will lead to the Galway plate with him, but Saturday or Sunday should suit him well. Navan, a decent flat card actually, Navan.
Yeah.
I thought the 4 or 5, that 40 grand, 3-year-old only handicap, if the ground didn't deteriorate too much by Sunday, if you had 2 dry days, Snowy Owl down at the bottom was interesting, 8-7, ran into, I'd say, a decent horse since William Bruce the last day at Leopardstown, just got going a little bit too late. I should be all the better for that. And in the 4:40, be my. Do we give a nap now, or we wait till the?
We can wait actually.
Wait, yeah.
Why not wait?
But that 4:05 Snowy Owl is definitely interesting. And that 3:30, that winner's race, crackle winner's race. Laylap's Eyes of August, Belmont Avenue. You know, it is a nice horse who could step off Belmont Avenue. Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good race, actually. What do you like? Aidan has some interesting runners, as you'd expect. My nap, actually, which I'll tell in due course, would want soft ground. I'm a little bit worried that, as Fran says, it is drying out. But Anthony, on the card for you.
The only thing on the card for me is my nap. So you're going to keep those back. First rule of the show is leave them wanting more, Johnny. I like it. So I have one in Punchestown, though, the 4:25. She's some doll. Mare out of Cromwell, so she won a maiden hurdle in Limerick over Christmas. Actually, that maiden hurdle worked out pretty well for the grade. Did nothing in her subsequent 3 handicap hurdle starts, but then showed signs of life when fourth in Dempatrick the last time, despite making numerous hurdling errors. If she can brush up on her jumping, she'll have no problem with the ground. I think even it's going to be soft at both venues. I'd be fairly sure of that. So she'd have no problem with the ground. And I think, as I said, if she does brush up on her hurdling, she remains well handicapped. So she's some ball. I'll give her a life.
Yeah, and you're running off 98. Johnny Mack, are you going to get cycling over the weekend? Looking at the weather's going to be quite nice, which might not be ideal for my nap. But will you be cycling A and B? What's your selection from Navan?
Yeah, forecast is good Sunday, Johnny. And I bought a new bike. I'm after buying a new Giant, so that's on the way.
A giant of a man.
Yeah.
Trained by Noel Mead, was it? Giant of a man.
The Shark, no?
It might have been the Shark. What did you pay for the Giants?
It was Bill Durkin's horse, wasn't it, I think? But anyway, I'm going to shoot twice at Navan. The maiden at Albion Square, Jessica Harrington's juvenile, showed really good pace the last day. Was outpointed by the Entertainer on the hill. She's troubled. The third has come out and won at the Curragh last weekend. I think that's going to be a huge player. And Joseph's filly, Adelisa, ran really well at Goring the last day. The third in that, Pale Iris, has come out and won twice since. That's going to be a big player as well, Adelisa, in the Phillies maiden.
Excellent. Johnny Mack and myself going to have a match bet in a cycling race in due course to sort out. It could be like Barney. We'll both be needing a winner for the year to sort out our punting, and it could be a match bet with Juki, some sort of a referee type. Let's get to the naps. Franberry, let's start with you.
Johnny Mack mentioned it there, actually, in the 4:40 in Navan. Adelisa, for me, is the nap of the weekend, Johnny. That run in Goring Park, first run in grass, she came home well to be second to Create Believe, who won last week in great style off 87 at the Curragh. The third, Pale Iris, has won twice since, and it ran well in Listed Company, and the fourth, Powerful Aggie, won in Sligo subsequent to that. And the Powerful Aggie form actually ties in well with one Alice Kitty as well, who was second to of Jessica Harrington, so second to Powerful Aggie. And Adelisa, for me, up and triple, really suit her. She's the nap.
Yeah, there's always a connection, Juki, because Create Belief obviously denied your nap last weekend. Create Belief obviously denied Adelisa last time. What is your nap this weekend, Brendan Duke?
So my nap is Baton Rouge in the 4:05 in Nav. An interesting race. This brand has already mentioned Snow Yell. I think Iowa's going to be very popular in the betting. Now, he runs off 8 stone 8, the Heff's minimum riding weight in the last year, 8 stone 9. So I don't think he's going to boil down to ride Iowa. Lorden can ride at 8 stone 6. So I imagine Lorden will ride, but there'll be no real significance in those jockey bookings. However, I don't trust Iowa. I think he's a cheap late gains monkey, and he'll always cost you money, but he will take up a good percentage of the market. The Baton Rouge, I mean, what's not to like? That maiden that he won in Dundalk worked out pretty well. He was second to Benno then in Nace. That form hasn't been tested, but you have to think Benno's a massively improved horse, and I'm interested in him when he runs the next day. And the Baton Rouge, first-time cheek pieces for Aiden. We love Aiden with first-time headgear. No problem with the ground. Enjoys a big class edge. What's not to like?
Well, I'll tell you what's not to like. This is dreadful news because my nap is in that race as well. So the amazing, we talk about Barney Curley, the amazing four-timer and Yankee and Lucky 15 that obviously is going to have the bookies running for cover every week here and on the wire. It's not going to happen. It's going to be a treble, and you'll be picking between mine and Juki's. If you do that, in due course, it'll tell you what mine is. What's yours, Johnny Mack?
Mine is Albion Square. I'm going to go with Albion Square after that good run the last day. Before I finish, Johnny, we're going to be price boosting the favourites at Barwon Racing at Beverly Saturday, Punchestown Sunday. If you like any favourites there, get onto barwonracing.com or get into the shops.
Lovely stuff. My nap is Doolin Dancer in the 4:05. Second run for Ken Condon. This horse, I was actually doing the race post analysis. This horse won at Killarney in October. There was a significant non-runner in that race, but he's from a family of a load of winners by Fast Company. So definitely, it was yielding to soft at Killarney. So I'd say it'll be something similar at Navan. His run at Dundalk in March, I look back on it there this morning, Billy Lee rode him for the first time. Billy Lee didn't hit him at all. He really looked after him. I get the impression, in general, Fran, Fast Company horse, a lot of them would want a bit of an ease. I got the impression this horse wasn't in love with the surface at Dundalk the last day.
Yeah, he was very good in Killarney that day. That was extremely testing going, Johnny. I just wonder, is he well handicapped off 89 or not? And I'd have to see him again, but it definitely back on the grass with a cut in the ground should suit him well. And Ken's horse are starting to just hit a bit of form now also.
Yeah, and his horses are, it's not a gambling yard really at all, so you often get value. Just the horse that he beat at Killarney, Let Me Pass, was competitive afterwards, rated in the 90s, so there's a case to be made that he's not badly handicapped. I think Ken might improve the horse a bit. How is John Oxkey, Franny? Still in touch with him?
I haven't seen him for a while, but I'm told he's out in the Curragh Gallops quite a bit, and he's one or two different owners and looking after them and on the gallops of various trainers, and by all accounts in good form, and he's a new tenant, coming into the yard, O'Donoghue might be his second name. He's assistant to Roger Varian, and he's moving back to Ireland in September to take over a part of John's yard, which is great to see because a big property like that, it's a shame to see it idle on the Curragh, and interesting to see how that new trainer does there.
I did hear about that, actually. Yeah, and just before we finish up, we've heard of Johnny Mack's plans for the weekend. What are yours, Fran and Juki?
First things first.
Oh. Sorry, go ahead, Fran.
Gaelic training with my son in the morning, and whatever, and then Sunday barbecue. Yeah, so that's
he's a beautifully rounded man, Juki, isn't he? Gaelic training, tipping winners, bit of a barbecue, chee beans in the works. Obviously, no chee bean. Yeah,
and an absolute renaissance man. But it turns out that if he's not working the weekend in Ireland, the racing in Ireland isn't of particularly high quality. So we'll use that as a barometer in future. I too am going to a barbecue on Sunday. My brother's birthday was during the week. And we're having a bit of a get-together and having a barbecue on Sunday. So that should be a bit of sport.
Beautiful. Thanks a million, lads. And we will be back next week with On The Wire. Best of luck with your selections this weekend. Do check out Bar One for their specials. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you for tuning in to On The Wire Racing TV's podcast, brought to you in association with Bar One Racing. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave a review, give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And this podcast is available on video format in all its glory on YouTube. And you'll also find us on racingtv.com and on audio at Apple Podcasts, Spotify and numerous other platforms. Don't forget, if you are having a bet this weekend following any of our selections or so on, gamble responsibly and do visit begambleaware.org for more information.